my lifetime, when you bought a house in the 50s, we had to stain the concrete red. It was called FHA red, and it had to be stained and sealed for you to get an FHA mortgage. And flooring has only grown from there. But many of you my age will remember growing up on red concrete floors. And then carpeting was introduced. It was introduced as a clean product, a quiet product, a comfortable product. I still have floor covering guys today who try and convince me it makes a good air filter. And then I start a vacuum and I put it on the carpet and I say, explain that to me. Carpet has its place, but boy, it sure has lost its place as the wall-to-wall throughout the house flooring product. It's been replaced by hard surfaces that you can put robot scrubbers and vacuums on and keep the floor looking good constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in the hard flooring, hard surface flooring, you've got the really hard. You've got the finished concrete, polished concrete. You've got terrazzo, not so much in residential. You've got sautéa, the porcelain, the ceramic tile, all very loud, very hard. I find them very hard on my feet. But boy, this vinyl. I was one of the last ones, Mitch, to give up on sheet vinyl. When we would do remodels for families, I'd tell them, look, you ought to consider a good quality vinyl with a cove base. And once a year, you can just hose out your house. You can just really, really clean it. No baseboard. And it's very, very functional. And so with six kids around the house, we had several rooms that were done that way. And it was very easy to keep, very sanitary. Well, now we've migrated to a new level of this vinyl product. Talk a little bit about the differences of quality in the vinyl that's available. What would you think is the minimum price someone could pay for a product that they could be expect a good professional happiness with over 2 decades?
I'd say you'd probably be in about that 350 range to start for the material.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is a great deal.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean,
man, that is a great deal.
Up to $6 a foot, though, on some other stuff.
Okay, what am I getting for six that I'm not getting for three?
So when you're getting into, a $3, $3.50 range, you're going to get just a embossed flooring. It's not going to register to the design. So you might see a knot in the wood finish look.
A picture.
Yeah, but you don't feel it. It's just lines going over it. So the texture doesn't match the print. Maybe it's the thickness. Maybe you're going to be in a 12 mil. 20 mil is going to cost a little more. An SPC, which is a stone-based product, or WPC, which is a wood-based product, typically those are going to be in that same range. But it's really more the length. So this stuff is coming like 6 foot long, 9 inches wide. That's going to cost more money than
it does. A little bit longer.
Yeah, it's going to cost more money than a 5x48 piece. You know, it's just okay. Bigger, more full, and that's actually more desirable of a look too. In my opinion, is that bigger is better.
And so you're buying the depth of the finish layer.
Correct.
The entire depth of the product itself.
Correct.
And the substrate that the manufacturer is providing.
Correct, whether that's a rubber back or a cork back, like Cortec is going to be a cork back. Most all the other companies that are like notable companies are going to be like a rubber cushion back on it.
Okay, I'm asked all the time, is click down vinyl flooring a do-it-yourself project? What should a do-it-yourselfer know? A couple tricks of the trade.
First off, I would read the instructions. Any type of video, YouTube.
Okay.
If you want to install it yourself, YouTube it. You can get a lot of information. You can fix a car if you don't know how to fix a car, but now you do. Right. So I would definitely look at YouTube, read the instructions, ask people.
Start with good product
selection. Maybe if you know somebody that – I wouldn't ask your neighbor who did it because he doesn't know. I'd maybe ask if you know somebody that does flooring, maybe get some pointers from them.
Or
maybe
how do you start laying it out? I've brought home 14 boxes to do my middle bedroom. How do I get that started?
Well, you'd want to measure out, make sure that you're square. You don't want to be crooked in there, although you can adjust it because it's a floating floor. But your final product, you want it to be in there straight.
And you can't assume that your room was square.
Never square. Yeah. Only one wall. Right? And pick it.
You know, all you have to be off from one side to the other on a, you know, the framing crew could be off by an eighth of an inch. The wood could warp another eighth of an inch.
Sure.
You know, you're off a quarter inch from one side to the other. You can never see that with your eye. But when you get down there in your product, you're like, what? why isn't this square? Well, the rooms never are. Like you correct. Said, the one wall is.
Yeah, we used to, like with tile, we would do the, are you familiar with like the 3, 4, 5 in the
corner? Oh, yeah.
So we would do that. And a vinyl plank, it just doesn't matter because you could be crooked, you know, 2, 3 rows in and push it over and it's a floating floor. You can move it.
Okay.
But typically you're going to start on a wall that's a bearing wall because those are typically going to be more straight than like a hallway.
Okay.
The hallway's going to be all over the place. And then you'll do a couple, 2, 3 rows at a time and go, and then you start back and go again. But those are going to be in your instructions. If you don't have instructions in your box, then you need to be making a phone call from where you got it
Put it in. I mean, to get started, you've got to take a razor blade, cut the caulk on top of all your baseboard, and remove the baseboard.
Correct, yeah. Well, you can leave it if you're going to put quarter round, but it's kind of a cheap look in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
I like to have it. And this is a perfect opportunity for you as a homeowner to be able to upgrade a baseboard at that time because the baseboards that were put in, even in my home, they were 2 1/4 inch baseboard. It's not even baseboard, it's casing. You know, that they just, it's a lot cheaper just to keep it going.
Right.
So I upgraded at that time. Baseboard's not that expensive. It's pressed wood. It's not that expensive for the material. The labor, it's whatever anybody's going to want to charge you. So
it is a great opportunity to enhance the look of a room.
Yeah.
Get rid of that 2 1/4, 2 5/8 streamline baseboard. Pull it out, razor blade cut right across the top, break it loose, get in, snap in your floor, and all new baseboard.
Correct. And then the reason that you're going to want to cut your caulking at the top is because it's connected to your wall, and you're going to take your drywall with it if you don't. And if you're going to upgrade that base, you're also going to cover any damage that's maybe right there as well.
And usually, you mentioned earlier, JJ, just about the important on the prep. When somebody wants to start a project, the prep work is not fun. You want to see something. You want to have something to show for. So, rushing it, getting it down, all those things that you can cut so many corners getting to that point. But every cut corner, you're just adding. You're shortening the quality and the lifetime of the product at the end point. It's just not worth. If it takes you 5 extra weekends than you planned on spending doing it, it's going to take you 5 extra weekends. It's going to be that's a lot less to pay for than having to start all over again or having to do it again or pay someone else to come back and fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to rush into what you're doing, and it's like you said, a cut corner could cost you a lot in the long run, whether it's not proper expansion underneath the baseboards, one of the things that I see when I walk into homes, and I can always tell when a homeowner's done it, is when they've laid a laminate floor, but they didn't stagger it. And so it's like,
yeah, there's
it's
a
like
seam.
Tile across here, and it's like ready to fall apart. I've seen underneath laminate floors, I've seen carpet padding. And the customer didn't know why their floor was unlocking.
Oh, my goodness.
You're not supposed to put carpet pad underneath there. You can't put double pad. It'll unlock it. So.
Was it the existing
pad? But it was going to be softer. Oh.
No, it was.
Well, now, if I'm doing that hypothetical hall bedroom, converting it to an office, and I want that hard surface, what am I going to do at the door threshold where it meets the carpet?
So at the door threshold, anytime where it's meeting the carpet, and comes to a stop without a baseboard, you're going to need some sort of molding there. When we meet carpet, we like to use a end cap or a baby threshold, just because the edge of that molding kind of is blunt. It comes, gives you a nice surface to tuck to. Some manufacturers don't offer those. You could use a reducer to give you something to tuck the carpet to.
And it really gets tough if I'm coming up against a tile floor. I think that's a tougher detail.
It can be. Product selection is going to be something there, and keep bearing in mind when you're prepping the surface that, you know, if you're running up to stone, stone is obviously a lot thicker than tile. You're going to have some height difference on some of that material, you know, and you don't want your T-mold to sit there pitched.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't help the life.
Skanky.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the other things, like with the height difference, like with these travertines or the sateel, which is still around a little bit, not as popular as it was, is with that height difference, we got to be real careful that when we're laying a floor, that we're not causing a tripping hazard for somebody.
Sure.
And so that's one of the nice things, because this vinyl plank's a lot thinner than a laminate floor. They're making some of this vinyl plank even thicker. Shaw has one that's a half inch. Cortec has one in the Grande series, 9/16. The stuff is this thicker than wood.
Okay.
But it gives you that level transition, so you can go from one to the other without having a step down or a step up that could cause a tripping hazard for someone in your home.
Now, we've been trying to give some DIY tips out for folks if they want to try and tackle it themselves. How about if they don't want to tackle it themselves? How would they get a hold of Bram?
Well, they can reach us on our from our website, bramflooring.com. Our phone number is 623-974-9777. And that's the best way right there.
And you don't need an appointment for the showroom.
No, we're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 3. Saturday, we're open 8 to 2. We just opened up on Saturday. And I will say, we got some really big news that's going to be coming this coming year. We're not talking. I know that you guys know about it, but it's in the process right now. And
awesome.
We're going to be having something big to talk about next year.
Very good.
Yeah. And so it's open today on Saturdays, new on Saturdays, and current location?
107th Avenue in Union Hills in Sun City, Arizona.
Northwest corner.
That's good.
your service area. Where do you like to serve?
We go all the way. I got a job we're doing in Queen Creek. We go to Buckeye. We're all over. I mean, we're not – when it gets slow – you'll go wherever, and we do a lot of stuff with like property management companies, commercial stuff, so we can't just say we're going to do here.
Very good.
We are all over.
Well, you brought in the next generation of Bram Flooring, your son Aaron. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about Aaron's decision to enter to the trades and what a brilliant decision I believe that is, given the curve on the future labor pool of America. When we get back, Aaron Taylor.